this subject, these five services. He's called upon me to shine a light on a morbid subject. It is in my heart in these five services to speak on the subject of death. And it is in my heart to preach on this subject. Death ain't what it seems. I want you to know this morning that death has gotten a bum rap. It seems like in the day that we're living in, death has got us in the jaws of its grip. I have preached some funerals over the years that some of you little fellows would fit in the coffin. Yes. You'd fit just right. I've preached some funerals over the years where some of you biggins, you'd fit in there just right. I was reminded of that this past week. My mom told me, a good friend of her cleaning ladies, Friday afternoon, he stopped over at Circle K, going to get him a cup of coffee, turned the car off, opened the door, put his feet out, stood up, hit the ground. He was dead when they got to him, 42 years old. Son going to graduate from high school in May. And it seems like death's a bad thing. But nowhere in the Bible does the Bible ever see death's a bad thing. It's always a gain. It's never a loss. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to preach in these services on death and what it seems. In this day and age that we're living in, we must learn not how to make a living, but we must learn how to live. Some of you are trying to get your children an education so they'll get a job and make a living. I tell you what, they will cause you trouble all your life if you don't ever teach them how to live. If they ever learn how to live, they'll make a living. I'm promising you. But the only way to learn how to live, you must learn how to die. And this morning, I'd like to read some scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And just for a brief moment or two, I know we have gone on for a long time. But I want to just preach and just lay quick groundwork on the revelation of death this morning. The revelation of death. Just a couple of verses, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 24. Paul said this, "Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when she shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. "For he hath put all things under his feet. When he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which he did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Again, if you've got the Bible, verse number 54. "So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You may be seated just for a moment or two if you'd allow me. Death and its revelations. You'll never learn how to live until you learn how to die. Insurance salesman came to my grandma years ago he was collecting life insurance. He talked to her about increasing her coverage. She made a very deep and profound statement to him. She said, I can't pay to die until as long as I'm paying to live. Yeah. In this text, I notice, first of all, in this revelation about death, I notice there is the timing of death's position. He says in our text in verse 24, then cometh the end. There is an end coming for us all. Yes. If the Lord don't come back, all of us are going to get in a coffin. Right, right. I was over in Kingsport, Tennessee a few months ago, and they were telling me about the undertaker over there. He owns a very large funeral home, and he's somewhat of a clown. You don't find many funeral home directors got any kind of sense of humor, leastwise I'd never had. But if he meets you out in public and he finds out that you have found out for the first time that he's a funeral home director, he's got a measuring instrument in his pocket. And he pulls it out and does you a head to toe and makes this statement to you. He said, I got one that'll fit you. And I don't know exactly when you're going to get in there, but it may be today. There is the timing of death's position. He said, then cometh the end. There will be an end. But what I'm interested, watch this text in verse 24. Notice the timing of death's position. He said, when he shall have delivered, duh! I didn't know if you'd see that ED or not. Up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Watch the tense of this verb here. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Look at verse 27. For he hath put all things under his feet. Paul said there is coming a time when there will be the end. He said it will be clear to us that all of these things have been put down. But Paul, in expressing when these things were put down, he uses the past tense, that all of these things have already been put down. Death has been, the Bible tells us in verse 26, destroyed. Rendered powerless. Death has no more power over me. You're looking at an old boy today that's never going to die. Ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Ain't nobody gonna put me, the real me, in a casket. Might put the house I'm living in, but you'll not put the real me in no cast. I am not going to see no lid put down on me. Are you listening to me? How come? Because of what he did in the tomb. He rendered death powerless. Oh, death, come over there that morning. 3 days. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. You probably didn't get it the first time. He came over there 3 days. I don't know. It ain't nowhere in the Bible. It's only my human imagination. Death came over there 3 days. Hell's undertaker doing the smell and touch test on Jesus. Yeah. Trying to see if rigor mortis had set in on him. See if he'd begin to rot. Yeah. He would go over there and he'd touch him. And he'd smell of it. He said, I can't smell no rot, and he's still soft. Yeah. Every one of us have gone by them caskets, and I guarantee you, many of you give testimony. Sometime in your life, you just got inquisitive, you just could not stand yourself, and you touched a dead person. Right. And they were hard. Right. Hey, death didn't find that morning. He touched him. He said, he's still soft. And old rigor mortis set in on him. Went over there three times that third morning. He went over there and he didn't touch him. He didn't smell him that morning. But death reported back to hell's undertaker. He said, I didn't touch him. I didn't smell of him this morning. He said, but when I went in that tube, he said, I got a whiff of something. It was a mixture of a smell. He said, it smelled like a sweet rose of Sharon. Or a lily that grows in a valley. I can hear old Satan now. Leave him alone. He's a fixing to get up. That was when death lost its grip. See, we like to push the thing that death lost its grip on him. Oh, no, 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 hon. Death lost its grip on me. Death was rendered powerless over me this morning. I'm talking about the timing of death's position. But watch this text now. Notice not only there is the timing of death's position, but I notice there is the throne of death's position. He says in verse 27, but he hath put all things under his feet. Preacher, what did he do with death? Oh, it's deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not. He made a footstool out of it. His feet propped up on death. Most of us this morning got death over our head. Huh? It's all on us. Oh, no, 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 no. Death's under us. We over death. Past tense. Everything's been done in the past. Death has been placed up underneath of us. Do you imagine if you would get a hold of that this morning, what it would do for you? Huh? You wouldn't be afraid of dying. You wouldn't be holding on all the time in the car. Huh? Huh? What's going to happen to you? You surely ain't going to die. Can't die. You might exhale here and inhale over there. You ain't going to die. Anybody will ever close no lid on you? Well, I love to hang out of that. Don't you just help me while I'm preaching? Huh? I'm talking about the throne of this position. Old Voltaire, the great atheist of yesterday, he was the one that really started the atheistic movement. When Voltaire died, he screamed so loud at the sights of seeing hail around the bed that his nurse that attended his death said if she lived any longer, she would never attend the bedside of an atheist again. She said it was so horrible. I thought it was interesting after he died. Old Gutenberg, the inventor of the printing press, bought old Voltaire's house and printed Bibles. Sent them all over the world. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Huh? Oh, it just cranks me up. I'm talking about the throne of death now. Where is death at this morning? Over us? I tell you, I'm scared I'm going to die. Death's under me. Footstool. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of it. You talking about shout? Oh, yeah, I'd put a shout in you. I love what old D.L. Moody, they said when he died, he called his son Willie. He's fixing the crossover now. He said, Willie! He said, I can see my two grandsons that died at birth. He said, they're standing on the other shore waving me to come home. That's what D.L. Moody said when he was dying. I was wondering what you're going to say when you die. Yeah. What if you're going to die like old Voltaire? Hell all around your bed. Right. Yeah. If they ain't got you doped up, I wonder if you're going to die like old D.L. Moody. I can see them on the other side. They're beckoning me to come on, come on. How come? Because of what he did in that tomb. Death has no power over me. I'm talking about the throne of this position, timing of this position. But watch the text now. I notice in our text, not only is there a revelation about death's position, but I notice there is a revelation about death's practice. I notice in this practice there is a foolish practice. He says in verse number 29, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? In that day and age, they were baptizing converts for the dead. You know that's still going on today. I didn't know if you noted or not. More than likely, somebody's been baptized for you. Mormon church baptizes people. whatever your generational line is, they'll baptize for you. John Phillips said he met a man not long ago, been baptized 5,000 times. He's been immersed 5,000 times. More than likely, he's been baptized for some of you. Isn't that foolish? What a foolish practice. Huh? Of course, we wouldn't want to condemn them. We practice the same kind of foolishness. Baptist church. How many of you right sitting right here have been baptized? You ain't got nothing. Huh? You ain't got a thing. You don't go away, you ain't got nothing. Huh? You're just as empty as it was when you went in the water. And I don't know about you, Brother Ken. I could write a book, but the ones I baptized and can't find them. I told my son that pastor down in Florida the other day, I said, if you'll just wait a little while, you won't have to put no water in that baptism pool. They'll take care of themselves. Huh? They'll see me running through no water soon after they get saved. Oh, no. You wait 3 or 4 weeks. They'll take care of most of them. Will take care of themselves.
Huh?
I ain't baptized one don't come 3 times a week. Huh? You forget it. Ain't baptizing. You ain't in no Bible. You ain't got no personal relationship with no water. I ain't getting in no water with you. We got our foolish practices, too. Baptism speaks of death. It speaks of what happened at that tomb. Death has no more power over me. You get in that baptism water, you're telling the world my sins are gone, and death has no power over me. Huh? Revelation about death's practice, a foolish practice. But I notice in this text there's a faithful practice. Faithful practice. Oh, I love this. I hate to even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. Watch this text, this faithful practice. He says in verses 20 and 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ. See, being in Christ when he died, death don't have any more hold over me. Death's been rendered powerless over me. See, I was placed in Christ before the foundation of the world. Then in 1968, I was immersed into Christ by practice in time. I am in Christ. Death has no more power over me. But there is a battle going on in me. As the preacher said this morning, that old and that new nature. I did not know if you know it or not this morning. But that old man that you got from your mama, you got from your daddy, it's lying this morning sleeplessly in a cold grave inside of you. It's waiting an opportunity,
yes, sir,
to raise its head,
yes, sir,
and have one last fling.
Right.
It's got you in its crosshairs.
Yes, sir.
You that have been saved a long time, oh, it surely got you in its crosshairs.
Yes, sir.
Trying to line up something good. Oh, can you imagine how the hellish old nature would rejoice this morning if he could put your scalp on his belt. Oh, he's got you. Oh, don't think you home free, old gray-headed people. Oh, no. He's got his eyes set for you. Crosshairs, old nature, lying sleeplessly in an old cold grave inside of you, waiting to raise its head up with one last flame. It's like a vampire this morning.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's wanting to satisfy its appetites and its thirst with your life.
Yes.
Preacher, you got any idea what I can do with it? Yes, I do. You must take the cross and ram it through the hellish heart,
right,
of your old nature. It's got to go.
Good advice.
Listen to me. Death has no more power over me. I am not going to die. But I'm going to tell you something. With what he replaced it with, I wished he would have left it just where we die and get put in a box. See, he's taken that away from the child of God. We do not have to fear death because that's not going to be really us that they put in the ground. But he replaced it with something far worse. Oh, I wish he'd left it alone. My account.
For my account, I wished he'd have left it alone. Just let us all die. We'd had to go on through the graveyard death. It would not have been absent from the body, be present with the Lord. None of that had been true. We just went in the grave. I wish he'd left it like that. Because what he replaced it with, I don't like it. What he replaced it with? Death to self. Ruh-roh. Uh-oh. You mean tell me I got to die myself? That's what he replaced it with. Oh, notice what Paul said. You got your Bible there? We're talking about the faithful practice. Paul says in verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. I die daily. You know how come some of you are going to have such a hard time with dying? You ain't never died yourself. My mama right now is having an awful hard time with my daddy dying. My daddy ain't having a hard time with him. Daddy ready to go. He check out the day if he let him. My mama's having a hard time with him. You know how come? I've never seen my daddy down. I've never seen my daddy down. 84 years that he's been living, and the 57 years I've known him, I've never seen him down. Matter of fact, not long ago, he had a blood clot in his arm, and he just couldn't move it. And they come up there to do therapy on him. You know what he told them? He said, you don't have to worry about it. He said, I picked my nose with my right hand. He said, my left hand, he said, it don't bother me. That's what he told him. That's what he's always been. I've never seen him down. Never. I never seen my mama up. I ain't never seen my mama up. Always now. Morbid. Oh, what are we going to do? Huh? You listen to me this morning? Oh, I'm talking about a faithful practice. You must learn how to die daily. Die daily. You must have to learn how to get along on less. Are you listening to me? Oh, I notice not only is there a foolish practice, a faithful practice, but I notice there's a favored practice. He says there in verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus. There's that in Christ. I die daily. He says in verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. Brother David, you ever met anybody that believed they ain't gonna never die and all their sins was gone? You never met anybody like that? You looking at him. Brother Rollins, you know anybody this morning that believes they ain't never gonna die and all their sins are gone? You do now? God forbid y'all don't believe that. You don't believe all your sins are gone? Past, present, and future. He took them on him at the cross and they gone. And he said, I destroyed death. Can you imagine what you would do this morning if you thought for sure that death couldn't get you and all your sins were gone? You could not sit there like this. Lord, no! Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? Sins are gone. Death has no more power over me. I close with this thought and I'm done. There's a revelation about death's power. Death's power. He says in verse number 54, so when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up. That little word swallowed is a deep word. I hate to even bring it up. I don't even know if you can get it or not. The little word is this. Watch me. Did you get it? Run it by you again. It means to gulp down. About the best way I can explain. You ever played Pac-Man? It's a little word here, swallowed up. He said, when I got saved, what Christ did in the grave was applied to my account. What happened, preacher? He said that corruption was swallowed up of incorruption.
That little word corruptible there means to decay, to rot, to shrivel. The little word immortality there means undecaying, unending, the continuous of life. When I got saved, that was swallowed up. Yes. Gracious, I ain't gonna rot no more. No worm's gonna eat this body. Job said to eat his body, ain't gonna eat my body. How come? What happened to him in the grave was applied to me. Oh, that's worth shouting about this morning. Swallowed up. But what? Not only is there the swallowing up of its power, but I notice in verses 55 and 56, there is the speaking to its power. You can tell death this morning don't have no power over you. Oh, death, where is your sting? Huh? You know, I killed a wasp Friday. I mean, I laid a hurting on it with that long nozzle spray. I killed him, graveyard dead. He had both legs up in the air. He had stopped his wiggling tricks. But you know, an hour and a half after I killed him, I rubbed his back in with a napkin, and he was still shooting it in and out. He's still looking to sting somebody. I used to work with an old guy. He said, you know, he said, I don't mind wasps. He said, they never have bothered me unless they back up to me. Do you realize this morning death can back up to me? I can get close to death if I want to. Ain't got no stinger this morning. He pulled the stinger out. Stop right there and shout. Huh? Stinger's gone. Speak to death. Has no more power over me. And I notice not only there's a swallowing up, there's a speaking to it. There's a surety of this power in verse 37, but thanks. Did you know in verse number 57 that Paul did something I ain't seen none of you do yet while I've been preaching? I was hoping that it would happen. He breaks out in a doxology. He's gotten excited about the fact that he ain't never gonna die and his sins are gone. And he can't help it. He puts down his pen and you can hear the chains rattling. Because his little old bony hands are gone up in the air. And he said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth the ETH continual flow, me the victory. He's brought it to an end through Christ. Death can't get me. Breaks out in the doxology. She can't stand it no more. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of the fact that death ain't what it seems. I'm reminded of the little lady that came home, was going in her house. She felt a gun in her ribs. Man told her, give me everything you got or I'm gonna kill you. I love the hound out of what she leaned over her shoulder and told him. She said, don't threaten me with heaven. Do you know what that dear lady had figured out? She had figured out that all her sins were gone and that death had no power over her. Huh? I wish we could get a hold of that. You imagine what our services would be like? I heard of a lady just a couple of weeks ago. She's terminal. But she's not down. She's not sad. She's happy. And somebody asked her, said, how come you're not sad? You're terminal. I love what she told him. She said, I've been rehearsing for this all my life. What did she mean by that? I've been dying daily. I've been rehearsing for this time.
I've been denying myself all the little goodies that my flesh wants. Said, I've been a-getting ready for this hour. See, it's going to come on you suddenly like, oh, death ain't what it seems. Graveyard death has no more power over me. But do remember, He has replaced it with something far. Hey, I didn't know if anybody ever come by here and tell you, you know, there's a lot worse things than dying. Oh, great. There's a lot worse things than dying. Death to itself, death to yourself, denying ourselves. It's a far higher calling of death than it is to get in a coffin, be placed in the ground. Would you stand with us this morning? Father,